Good morning. Good morning to each one. Welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Central. Always good to get together on these Sunday mornings, even if it's rainy outside. It's warm and sunny in here. So glad to have you. Of course, all of our members, if we have visitors and guests in the auditorium, and I'm sure we probably do, a special welcome to you. We're always glad to have visitors and guests. If you get the opportunity, we hope you'll come back and worship with us again. For those online streaming our services, we're glad to have you with us this morning. It's good to get together on these Sunday mornings to worship God, worshiping Him, our Creator, from the creation that He made. Is only right and proper. And when we do that, that is a vertical aspect of our worship service. But there's also a horizontal aspect of it, and that is joining with other Christians. And as we sing songs together and pray together and engage in communion together, there's that horizontal aspect where each one of us is strengthened and encouraged and made stronger in the faith. And that's important too. So as we get together and engage in this worship, let's keep those things in mind, giving our very best in worship to God Almighty, and also strengthening our brothers and sisters and encouraging them. Let's praise Him now.
Lord, the light of Your love is shining.
Our next hymn is number 33, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing 421, which is a sweet, sweet spirit. Now we'll go to our Father in prayer.
Let us pray. Our most gracious Father, we come before you this morning just thanking you truly for the many blessings that you bestow each and every day. We know we take so many things for granted in this life, and that we know that all things that we do have, that, and the blessings we have, they all come from you. Father, the greatest blessing ever was you giving your son Jesus to die upon that cross of Calvary, and we pray that you'll help us that as we walk each day, whether in whatever part of life we're in, that you'll help us to be able to take that focus with us throughout the day. This is the love that he had and he shed, shedding of his blood for us. Help us that we may be a light unto all those that we come in contact with. Father, we pray that you'll look upon all those who are here this morning. Father, we pray that you'll be with each and every one and these families. And Lord, there's we know there are so many that are not here, that are just with different ailments at this time. We pray that you'll be with them. We pray that you'll be with the doctors who are ministering unto them. Lord, we just pray that we can just come before you with everything, with all of our needs. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the one that will be bringing the message this morning of your word. We pray that you'll help us to block out all thoughts and everything, and just concentrate solely upon what you've done for us. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing 749. And if it's convenient for you, would you stand, please, as we sing?
In heavenly harmony.
seated, please. Good morning. The scripture reading that I'm going to read is from Romans chapter 12. If you would like to follow along, it's going to be 17, 18, and 19. If you would just like to listen to it, that's where I'm reading. Pay back to no one bad for bad, but take thought for what is good, noble, excellent in the sight of all humanity. If it's possible within yourself, live peaceably with all humanity. Beloved, never take vengeance for yourself, but give place to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. The battle belongs to the Lord. Do you believe that? Amen. That brings me so much joy to sing those words, in part because it fits really well with the sermon. So it fits really great. So I appreciate me leading that. But it also fits in, really well. I got the mics turned on now. Appreciate that. It also fits in really well with the whole scripture, right? This idea of, well, how am I supposed to get vengeance? Am I supposed to get vengeance? How does justice come about? And as I was pondering this idea, because I've been going through reading Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of these Old Testament guys, and there's this phrase that keeps popping up of, I will repay, I will repay, I'll take care of it. And there's one image that popped into my brain as I was thinking about this idea. And that, of course, is our friend Wile E. Coyote. And you know the idea of Wile E. Coyote, right? Also better known as, come to find out, Wile Ethelbert Coyote. Of course, the E is put there so it sounds like Wile E. But anyway, Wile E. Coyote. Who's he after? He's after the Roadrunner, right? And if you think about what happens, Wile E. Coyote sets a trap. Does it ever really work? No, I think it worked one time. If I remember correctly, I think it worked one time. And I think, again, this is maybe a Mandela effect or something, but if I remember correctly, he catches the Roadrunner and then he goes, well, now what do I do? But most of the time, 99% of the time, when you go to watch a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, it ends up that he places a trap for the Roadrunner. The Roadrunner gets out of the situation, and who inevitably gets caught up in the trap? Wile E. Coyote. And that reminds me of Obadiah chapter 1, because there's only one, but verse 15 and 16. Obadiah 15 and 16. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you've drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow and shall be as though they had never been. So I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what does repayment look like from God. And so in order to do that, we're going to look at some concrete examples of God repaying. Because there are some really good aspects to God repaying, right? There are some good things about it that we want to discuss first. Let's look over in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, starting in verse 12. And this is the great banquet that Jesus talks about. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid." So what he says is, don't do what culture commonly tells you to do. You know, invite the wealthy, the powerful, that kind of thing. Invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite those who can't give back to you so that you do not get repaid. Okay, well, why? "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." So what God is saying is that when you give a banquet, when you invite the people in who are crippled, lame, poor, that what you're doing is this is now an opportunity for you to reflect him. They can't repay you. You can't repay God. But yet God lavishes goodness upon us, right? Particularly when we try to follow his ways. God wants to lavish that goodness on us. What about in John chapter 5, verse 27? It says, "And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So that is, in the resurrection, God will repay us according to what we've done. Now, don't get it mistaken, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. Don't get mistaken that good deeds earn you a spot in heaven. There is nothing that you can do that's good enough to get you there. However, when you decide to follow Jesus, your lifestyle should shift tremendously to a new paradigm of living. That is, in a Christ-like fashion. And so as we're walking the straight and narrow, as we're following after God, God says, "I will reward that. Because I'm proud of you." What about in Luke chapter 6? Starting in verse 37. This is a verse that's frequently taken out of context, I believe. But I think within the context, I think that there's an applicable lesson that is, to be honest with you, frightening. "Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Let's pause right there just for a second. The Bible does not say you should never judge. Jesus says, judge with righteous judgment. And 1 Corinthians, of course, chapter 5 says we are to judge the church, not those in the world. But let's continue. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." So the image there is that when you would go to the market, you might take the tunic out, the cloak out a little bit, and they would fill it up with whatever good you were buying. And the idea here is that it would be pressed down, shaken together. They get as much in there as possible, because the measure that you use will be what? Measured back to you. And so this is great, right? Possibly. Because here's the danger. This could be really good. If we're using the right measuring and if we're gracious and if we're merciful, then God has said, "I will be merciful. I will be gracious to you." But if we approach the situation with, "Hey, you better have it 100% right, And then we get up to heaven, and God says, hey, man, you did great. Greg, you got 97% of the way there. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome, man. That's an A, right? No. You used the measurement of 100%, and you didn't meet that measurement. That scares me to death. And that makes me take inventory about how I'm measuring others. So let's talk about the bad then. Not loving our neighbors. I want you to go ahead and start turning over to Proverbs chapter 3. Specifically verse 34. Proverbs 3, verse 34. And as I go through these, what I want you to do is I want you to think about what modern day application would look like. Okay, I want you to do this thought process with me. Proverbs 3:34, towards the scorners, or another word that could be used here is mockers. Towards the mockers, the scorners, he is scornful. But to the humble, he gives favor. Okay. So those that scorn, those that mock other individuals, God says, I will scorn you. I will mock you. Could you imagine being mocked by God? Can you imagine being scorned by the creator of the universe? But God says, if you do this to others, if this is how you want to treat your neighbor, if you want to talk bad about them behind their back, if you want to ridicule them to their face, if you want to bring them down, if you want to tear people down and not edify them, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give that right back to you. That's terrifying. That's terrifying. Because if I'm not loving my neighbor, you know who else I'm not loving? God. That's exactly right. Let's look at another one. Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 22. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Okay, what might this look like today? Well, what about the person who you contract to do work? Like, let's say, like home improvement, carpentry, that kind of thing, right? And they get about halfway done, but you've already paid in full. And so suddenly, the work stops. Do you think that's ever happened in the history of home improvements? Yes. Yes, absolutely, right? So what's going on there? Well, you've been robbed. You paid for a work that doesn't get complete. That person has robbed you. That's a curse for them, right? Because what does the Lord say that they'll do to that person? They're going to rob them. The Lord will rob them back. But it's a blessing for you, isn't it? Because you don't have to get that vengeance. You don't have to take it out on them because the Lord is going to take care of it. Think about this from an employer-employee perspective. If an employee is not really putting in the time that they say that they have been or that they're contracted to. Or maybe they're not putting in the effort and they're just trying to just go day in, day out, just doing it for the paycheck but not really putting their whole heart into it and they're really robbing the company of time and money. What's the Lord going to do to that person? He's going to rob them. He's going to repay them with how they have treated others because, again, it's not about, you know, it's robbing our neighbor, which is robbing God. Not loving our neighbor is not loving God. Let's go back up to Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. That, again, is scary. It reminds me of what James says. Don't say to the person, be warmed and be filled and have a great day, right? Don't do that because that's not loving your neighbor. In fact, God says, if you shut off your ears to somebody who's in need, then when you cry out, don't expect me to come to your aid. Because again, not loving our neighbor is not loving God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Verse 33. And this is a situation where Saul was supposed to have taken care of this. He did not. And so now Samuel, the prophet, priest, judge, is having to take care of it. It says, Samuel said, as the Lord has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Samuel says, what you have done to others, the Lord is now doing back to you. And there are a lot of people in this nation that might say, well, do we really need capital punishment? Is capital punishment really an ordained thing by God? Well, Romans 13 says what? That the government does not bear the sword in vain, right? That capital punishment is an appropriate action according to the Lord, because if somebody goes out and murders, it should be expected that that comes back on them because the Lord will repay. And he oftentimes uses governments to do that for him. So, what about 1 Corinthians 11? And by the way, too, I want us to think about just crime in general for a second. Has there been a sudden uptick in a lot of theft and robbery and all that kind of stuff the past few years? I watch, and I'll talk about this later. Sorry, but when I binge on stuff, it's in there. I've been watching a lot of court cases. I mentioned this in Esther. and I've been, like, they're real life. You're watching the judge. You're watching the plaintiffs. You're watching the defendants. And sometimes they're interesting. Sometimes they're not. But one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of times, these people that do bad things, you know what ends up happening to a lot of their charges? They get dismissed. And then you know what is really crazy about the situation? They go out and they do it again. And then they get dismissed again. And you know what's crazy? They go out and they do it again. It's almost like God has a plan that what is done by people should be repaid back to them. If there's a crime that happens, it should be that they receive a punishment for it. This is the way of God. Because it keeps a culture, it keeps a society able to work. So what is 1 Corinthians 11, our passage for communion? What does that have to do with God repaying, right? Let's look at how the Corinthian church treated each other. Let's see how they loved their neighbors. Verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that there are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For in eating, each one of you goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. So he's saying, you're not treating your brothers and sisters right. You're not loving your neighbor. You're getting all the food, while those that come a little bit later, they're not getting anything. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Physical, real death of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay, keep that locked over here. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. The physical, real death of Jesus Christ, right? Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats the and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Now, after all we've talked about the Lord repaying, if we do not love our neighbors during the Lord's Supper, Paul is saying, hey, you know that physical, real death of Jesus Christ that you're not taking seriously, and you're not loving your neighbors who are even in your own assembling together? That's why some of you died. Now, some will say, well, Greg, that's referring to a spiritual death. They weren't doing well spiritually. Well, that doesn't really seem to match the repaying for what they've done with what we've read elsewhere. If you rob, you'll be robbed. If you are bringing judgment upon yourself by not discerning the physical, literal death of Jesus Christ, some of them were getting sick and dying, it seems. Again, I know there's a couple ways of looking at that, but I do think it's interesting there in verse 30. So the question then is, well, how's our communion? Are we discerning the body? Are we doing it in a humble manner? Are we loving our neighbors around us as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper? Are we thinking about our Father in heaven? And as John mentioned earlier, are we also looking at the horizontal element of the Lord's Supper? Let's look at Joel, chapter 3. Joel 3, 19. Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. What might be the modern application of a nation that sheds innocent blood and God repaying them for that evil? Are there nations around the world that have shed innocent blood that God might be repaying them evil for evil? Not that God is doing evil, but that he's repaying them for the evil that they've done, bringing justice? Could it be that at this moment in history, that the Lord is bringing judgment upon America because of the shedding of innocent blood? Think about the millions of innocent children who are murdered yearly, who have no say in the situation. Think about the people that have been wrongly accused, put to death in our court systems, because maybe corruption in the politics, corruption in the courts, corruptions in police officers. Not that everybody's corrupt, but does that happen? Absolutely. And is it that God is possibly at this moment in time bringing vengeance upon America because of it? I would say that we have to be careful to say that that's not the case, because he's done it so many times before. So why is it hard to love our neighbor? Why is it hard for me to think about somebody else as opposed to myself? I'm not a Calvinist. I will say this, that there is a strong desire for humans to be pulled towards sin, towards fleshly desires, isn't there? We have this innate desire to be pulled towards that which gratifies the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And I tell you, that strong desire shows up pretty early, doesn't it? Because our world is full of sin. And so as I think about how I love my neighbor, it's really hard because Greg wants something that maybe my neighbor has. Or Greg wants something, and Greg is willing to do whatever it takes to get it. So what's the solution? You know the solution. Paul says that I don't do the things I ought to do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He says, who's going to save me from this body of sin? But thanks be to Jesus Christ, who sets us free. The only way for us to ever truly love our neighbor is to first of all see them in the light that they are, made in the image of God. And we love them in such a way, in the same way that God loves us. And then there's the ugly. Let's go over to Zechariah chapter 7. As I called, they would not hear. So they called, and I would not hear. I scattered them as a whirlwind among the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. What God is saying is, you've stopped listening to me, and therefore I'm going to stop listening to you. You have decided to break this relationship. In any relationship, communication is vital. Whether that's a marriage, whether that's a friendship, whether that's an employer-employee relationship, whatever the case may be, communication is key, because as soon as one party shuts off that communication, the relationship's done. And God says, you've shut me off, therefore I'm done. I'm sending you away. This is not what God wants. God hates this. God does not desire this. Jeremiah 5:19, God says that I'm willing to give people up to their own desires. We read this in Romans chapter 1. God says that there's a debased people who have a desire for the flesh, and that they've become homosexual, and they have a desire to gratify that. They've worshiped the creation rather than the creator, and God says, I'm giving them up to a debased mind. Here's the hard part. It's not easy. It is a very difficult thing when somebody says, I don't want a relationship with you. Can you force that person to stay around? No. And even if you did, it wouldn't be truly a good relationship. And so I want you to think about the father and the prodigal son. The prodigal son says, I don't want to be here anymore. And the father says, okay. Do we sometimes have to do this with relationships? Where the person doesn't want to be a part in it anymore. And we say, okay. That's not how God intended it. But sometimes, that's what we have to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a man that has taken his dad's wife as his sexual partner. And he says, and Paul writing to them, he says, what have you done here in Corinth? He says, you're kind of boasting about the fact of how open you are, right? We might say that the church there was very open to new ideas, right? Oh, look how progressive they are. And I hate the terms progressive and all that, because they're usually based on where we are. But here's a situation where Paul says, this is awful. You've got to stop doing this. In fact, this person is so debased, hand them over to Satan so that what? So that they might be won back. You see, cutting off a relationship even then is not about judgment on our part or justice or vengeance. It's about trying to save the individual, trying to save the relationship. In Jeremiah 11, and I'm going to kind of get through these pretty quickly. Jeremiah 11, 12 through 15, those that decided to go after other gods, like the Baals and the Ashtaroths and all them, God says, if you want them, I'm going to give you over to them. I'll send you off into Babylon. I'll send you off into Assyria. I'll let the Medo-Persians have you, because your desire is no longer for me. In fact, you and I have not been together in a really long time, because you've already been worshiping other gods. Their adultery and worshiping other gods led to God giving them back to what they wanted. And that was Assyria and Babylon. So let's talk about the application. Is God repaying us? individually, when something good happens to you, is it that maybe God is rewarding you? That maybe it wasn't just a freak happenstance and that God is actually rewarding you with something good. And on the flip side, when we have something bad that happens in our life, is that maybe God trying to wake us up? To say, listen, Greg, I don't like the direction you've been heading, and I'm going to do something so that I can steer you right back towards me. That's essentially the book of Proverbs. Now, we also have the book of Job, which says, hey, sometimes those things don't work out exactly the way that Proverbs does. But most of the time, could we look at life this way? What about nationally? When a nation has turned their back on God, is it that God can sometimes send situations to where he tries to turn them back? So when bad things are happening in a nation, is that God's handiwork? You see, what I want us to do is I want us to have a biblical worldview. I want us that when something bad or something good happens nationally, individually, that we don't look at it and go, huh, wonder why that's going on. Instead, we go, how is God involved in this? Because God is sovereign. God is over all things. In fact, Colossians 1, 15 and 16 says that he holds it all together. He literally permeates the universe. And what a blessing it is that God repays. Proverbs 19:17 says, God will reward you following him. God wants you to know that he is proud of you and that he has a reward for you if you follow his ways that is beyond imagination. And God is good. God is faithful and just to do that. And as I mentioned, though, it's nothing to be earned, but it's because we followed after the one who earned it. We also don't have to judge and get retribution on the person that we think deserves to be hurt. You can let that part go. Instead, that burden is lifted off of our shoulders and is given to the judge who knows all of the information, the only one who can judge properly. So how then should we act? I want us to read the rest of Romans that was started by Steve. This is Romans chapter 12, and we're going to pick up where Steve left off. We'll start in verse 20. We'll go to 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And here's what I want you to get. Here's the one message for today that you need to hear. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Even Jesus's overcoming of evil, how did it happen? He was manifested in the flesh. He was put to death. He died because he loved us. Something that was good in what he did for us is what overcame death and evil and sin. So, you don't have to get back at that bully at school. You don't have to get back at that bully at work or that jerk at work. You don't have to get back at that bully at home. God will take care of it. The battle belongs to the Lord, not to Greg, not to anybody else. Let the hatred go. Don't let the way that people hurt you affect your heart. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people, right? Is what Paul says. I've been in situations where people have hurt me. Sometimes in a public setting where I've been called out. And I tell you, there's that initial pang in my heart that just makes me, it hurts. I want to get back at them. I think, well, how can I make it worse for them? And those are the honest thoughts that go through my head for those that first little while as I'm trying to process what's happened. And then I try to get into a sense of prayer to where I'm going, Lord, don't let this harden my heart. Father, make sure that my heart is soft when I go to talk to them again. Because the worst thing we can do is let somebody else affect our salvation. You don't need to worry about that. You need to give it to God. Think about David. David, for all that he did, all that he went through, Saul trying to kill him over and over and over again, and yet what eventually happened? David, king. Saul, sword. God's got it. God's got it. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Revelation chapter 4, there's this call from under the altar. And those that are under the altar said, how long, O Lord? How long until you take vengeance upon our enemies? And the Lord says, I'm going to do it, but guess what? Not right now. Be patient. Trust that God has got it. It is a godly thing to forgive. It is a godly thing to desire justice. So don't lose sight of those. Pray fervently like the widow when somebody hurts you. Go before the judge, call out, and his timing might change. Persuade others. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11 says that we're all going to be judged on that last day. And so this week, what I want to encourage you to do is this. Find someone to persuade because judgment is coming. If it's that person that hurt you, the best thing you can do is help them for their souls to be saved. Help them to find Jesus. Help them to get back on the right path. Don't avenge yourself, but help them to grow in their faith. And if you find somebody that has wronged you, pray for them, pray to God, and love them like they've not been shown love before. And so, today, it is a truism that we will all be judged. God has said it. He is true in that. And he says that you will be repaid. And so my question to you is, are you ready for that? Have you done what God has called you to do? When there's that final judgment scene, will you be repaid for the evil that you've done, or will you be repaid for the good that you have brought to those around you? I want you to consider that. And if you've not started that relationship, I want you to start that today. That needs to happen because there is that final judgment and we don't know when that will be. But let me also say this. Every one of us has probably been hurt. And there's probably some of us in this audience today that is dealing with hurt and pain from other people, right? Again, family members, coworkers, people at school. If you need help with that, if you need help with getting your heart back in the right condition to stand before God, take care of that today as well. Come forward. We will pray with you, we will encourage you, and we will lift you up. Whatever your needs are today, will you come as we stand and as we sing?
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white.
seated, please. Thank you very much, Greg, for that outstanding challenge. As we begin focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus, we will sing 354, I Gave My Life for Thee, and then we will share the Lord's Supper together. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that you have your communion cup. When I preside, I often read from Luke, but I want to go back to Greg's message today, the key message: do not be overcome by evil. And part of his references were out of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to go back to those this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some of the message today reference this. It says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we are so awed by you. The grace that you give us and the teaching you provide us and the protection that you afford us, Lord, we are just in awe. There is only one. There is you. And Father, who are we that you were given for us? And Father, we thank you so much. And Father, we know that there is evil all around. And Lord, we know that your grace is all around us as well. And Father, as we take this, we reflect. We do not want to be overcome by evil. And we want your grace. And we give others grace. And Lord, as we take this, we know that we are doing this in the remembrance of Christ and what was given for us. And Father, thank you and forgive us. And in all things, let this glorify Christ. Amen. Goes on in 1 Corinthians. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you, thanking you, honoring you. And Lord, as we take this cup that memorializes and remembers the blood of Christ, we thank you. For it is Christ's blood that cleanses our sin. And Lord, there is none other. And we thank you, and we take this, and we do this glorifying Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll also have a prayer for our offering. Lord, we thank you. You have blessed us in so many ways, so many things that are seen, and then there are so many things that you've blessed us with that sometimes we don't recognize. And Father, we ask as we give that this be multiplied and spread throughout the world. That the work of this church be supported here, locally, that the work of this church helps the region and helps the entire world. Lord, we thank you. We ask that all that is given be given and multiplied. And Father, we know that you make it good, and we thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you have been glorified and exalted in this worship service today. Help us to glorify you in our lives. Help us to remain on the path that leads to a home in heaven with you. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.
want to make you aware of these announcements. Our annual Ladies' Day will be coming up soon, April 6th. The speaker will be J.J. Davenport. The theme is Mirror, Mirror, Are We Reflecting Christ? Please go to our Grace Mind website to get more information and also to register. Please sign up to provide a meal for the 708 College Ministry this semester. The sign-up sheet is on the message board in the foyer. See Tim Haywood for more details. Please take some time to look at the lost and found items on the table across from the elevator that's outside this door. Any items not claimed by Sunday, February 18th, will be either thrown away or donated. Upcoming events here at Central. The sign language class will be from 4:45 until 5:45. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet today at 3:30 in the children's training room. The Retired Men's Breakfast will be on Tuesday, February 13th at 9. Central's Redbirds Luncheon will be on Tuesday, February 13th at the Black Olive Restaurant in Jonesboro, and that will be at 11 a.m. The Dorcas Group meets on Wednesday, February 14th at 1. And Washed in the Word Ladies Bible Class will be Thursday, February 15th at 10 a.m. Please remember these in your prayers. Sherry Pierce came through her rotator cuff surgery on Friday. All went well. Remember James Simmons, as tomorrow James will be having cancer surgery. Also, please pray for Andy Russell. That's the cousin of Dennis Russell. Andy worships online with us from Lawrenceburg. Andy fell and broke his elbow and pelvis, and surgery will be on his elbow soon. So we want to keep him, Andy, in our prayers. Also, please pray for Daniel Jeter. Daniel is a deacon at the Kingsport Church of Christ. He's a nephew of Alvin Bailey, and he's currently at the Med Center in serious condition, awaiting a biopsy results on a mass in his lungs. So please also keep Daniel in your prayers. This message from Adam Maurer. The spring quarter for elementary classes begins in 3 weeks on Sunday, March 3rd. The following classes are still available for teachers. Please sign up on the list in the hallway. Sunday morning, we need teachers for toddler and 2 and 3 year olds. On Wednesday evening, we need teachers for cradle row, toddler, 2 and 3 year olds, and 5 year olds, kindergarten. Please reach out to Adam with any questions on that. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are dismissed. Have a great afternoon.